Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Hello and welcome to Secret Vibe Lounge. You're with your host, Valerie A. Campbell. Welcome newcomers to the lounge. I'm so happy to have you here. And welcome to my Secret Vibe tribe. Vibe is an acronym for vision, intention, belief, and expectation. And it's also short for the word vibration. And this is the place where you get to increase your vision, your intention, your belief, your expectation, and you increase your vibration by changing those attributes. So I'm going to ask you right now to change what you're focusing on. Focus on what you want. So I'm simply just going to ask you, what is it that you want? To align your focus so you can create out of this plasticine or Play-Doh world around us, so that you can create what you want. That is how powerful you are. Now, I want to share with you what for me is an incredible story. It's a story of faith. Right now, I'm in London. But really, I ought to be, if I had had it my way, be in St. Vincent. So last week, Saturday, I received a call from my mum that my auntie had died. So she's 88 years of age. She died in her sleep. Wonderful woman. And I thought about her and I remembered great memories. She had been in St. Vincent for a little while. She developed dementia. She was living with her son and she died in her sleep. He went to check on her at night because usually he would take her to the toilet, and he found that she'd passed away in her sleep. So may she rest in peace. So last week, I was there working away, and I decided that I wanted just to have a little break from my work. So I went downstairs to my kitchen. It was Wednesday, the 17th of November, 2020, and I was boiling the kettle. And whilst I was waiting, I thought to myself, I really feel like I need to unplug, like I feel like I need to unwind. It's been a busy year for me, despite COVID-19. And I thought, where can I go on holiday? I'm in lockdown, but I thought, I need a break. I'm sure someone has felt like that. I thought I needed a break, and I thought I could go to Miami. I've got a friend out there at the moment. And then I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pack my case. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to pack it. And in my mind's eye, I saw myself packing my case. Shortly afterwards, my mum called. And as I poured the water over the tea bag in my cup, she said to me she wanted to travel on Saturday. So remember, this is a Wednesday. She wants to travel on Saturday to attend my aunt's funeral. So I took it as a sign that I should go with her. And the thing is, I didn't feel particularly excited. Like, it wasn't a feeling of, yes, I'm going on holiday, I'm going away. It was a feeling of, I need to pay my dues. But I wasn't excited. And so I felt that my reason for going, apart from the funeral, would unfold. Because I thought, how is it that I'm visualizing packing my suitcase and then I receive a call and it's to St. Vincent? And I've been very much into proving my faith these days, building it up. because I've seen how God has brought things to pass, and I've seen how the power of my will has made manifestation so much quicker in my life. And so I wanted to follow the hunch, because it's been said that when you pray to God, you are in fact telephoning God. But when you feel a hunch or an intuition, or somehow the path just opens up to you, that is God telephoning you. And so I decided that I would travel. Now, to travel at this time, to go anywhere, you need to have a COVID test done. And so the following day I called and I was told that there's a place nearby, near where I live, that I can actually go and have this COVID test. Now, COVID tests are quite pricey. My cousin, the daughter of the deceased, she got a test for 200 something pounds, and it would be in the city. And I was like, I'm not jumping on a train to go anywhere. And 200 pounds is pretty costly. So I'd picked up the phone and found pretty quickly a place that did it for 150 pounds, which was quite nearby, much more convenient. But then later on, a cousin I'd spoken to said, oh, I'm traveling on Thursday to Dubai. And I got my test done for £110. And I did it online, and they send the kit to your home. You do it yourself, and then you send it back to them in their envelope. And I said, oh, that sounds great. And then she said, they send back the test the next day via email. You get your test. And I thought, that sounds fantastic. So the following day, Thursday, I sent back the COVID test. So I'd ordered it. I received it, and now I sent it off for testing in the tracker priority mail envelope that they'd provided. I sprinkled it with faith that it would arrive the next day. Now, the next day would be Friday. Remember, they're offering a 24 to 48 hour service. And so I sent it off. Now, the COVID department had warned that it could take days in their particular envelope to arrive because they were getting so many orders. And so they'd said, if you really want to guarantee that we get this the next day, use special guaranteed service. I went to the post office and they said, we don't offer that service, but if you use the priority mailbox outside. And I said, no. They said that I should use this special guarantee. They said, well, we don't know. Put it in the box outside. And so again, with faith, I sprinkled it with faith and I put it in the box. So that was my first step of faith, in a sense. I thought, is it going to take days? No, I'm going to have complete faith that this is going to arrive tomorrow. So the next day, Friday, I called their department, the COVID test department. I spoke to them, has the test arrived? They said to me they would contact me and let me know. But he said to me, why did you do that? You know, why did you, you know, we specifically sent you a note to say that it's going to take several days. However, I later on received an email. And the email said, we have received your envelope. We've received the tests, and we will send you the results the following morning, which would be the Saturday morning, the day of travel. So this was my second step of active faith that had manifested. You see. So now the only question that I had in my mind now was, it's the day of travel. Are the results going to come in on time? Now, I had a choice at that moment. They said it's going to come in tomorrow morning. But I decided to demonstrate my faith by waiting for the results the following morning. Now, it was tough because I had to get myself in a state of peace. Because, you see, I had a choice. At that moment in time, it was my last choice, or my back would be against the wall, in the sense of I'd closed off all doors. I had a choice to go to that street that was near me, pay £150 and take the physical test and go to the airport with the surety that I had the result in my hands. And that's what a normal quote-unquote person would do, right? They want that peace of mind. However, I was determined to test my faith. I was determined to test and to prove my faith. And so I decided to take that leap of faith and to wait until the next day. And so, active faith three. It's Saturday morning, the day of travel. Now, I had maintained a level of peace. I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I kept saying, all is well. I'm at peace. And sometimes my mind would go and think, oh my gosh, I'll be checking my emails. Nothing as yet. I started playing God is so faithful to distract myself. And I had this headache that I could feel was beginning to surface. But I kept on saying, all is well. And so I packed perfectly. My sister-in-law arrived with my mum, and my mum had all her suitcases packed in the car. She arrived perfectly in time. We got to the airport perfectly. And all the while I was checking my email, as you can imagine, waiting for this result to come through. And every time I would check, there would be nothing there. And again, a normal person, anxiety would have stemmed up, right? You can feel the anxiety coming up because I'm, where is this email? Peace, be still. Peace, be still. That's what I was saying to myself. And I kept on checking my emails. And at one point my mind said, ooh, shall I ask Lindy, that's the name of my sister-in-law, to stay or to go when she dropped us off? And my brain said, just in case. The reasoning mind said, just in case. However, I had to move in faith. And so I asked her to go. I thanked her and asked her to go. This was a faith move, a demonstration of my faith. Active faith four. So we were at the airport for a little while, and then it was time, nearing that time, where we need to check in at the desk. And my mum has special assistance because she's 75, her knees don't work so well, her legs don't work so well, and so she had to get a wheelchair. So they wheeled her over to the check-in desk. The first thing that they asked for was the COVID result. Can we see your COVID results, please? It was around 9 a.m. I explained I would have the results soon because I'd been checking my emails. They said, we have till 9:25 to sort out the results, because usually the check-in closes 1 hour before departure time. The departure time was 10:25. So I called the COVID department again, and they said to me the earliest they could email the results was 10:50 a.m., 10 to 11. So remember, my flight is at 10:25. I implored them and I said, listen, you don't understand. My flight is at 10:25. 10 to 11 is too late. I'm going to miss my flight. The young man was very compassionate, but he said, I have tried my best. He said, that's what I've been told. 10 to 11, 10:50 a.m. And so I spoke to a lady at the check-in and I said, look, when do you think that you're going to check, we're going to to you're actually going to close the check-in, because I could still see people in the queue. She said it should be 9:25, but by the look of this queue, I would say about 9:50, 10 to 10. And I thought about the fact that they said the test would come through at 10 to 11. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm still going to miss this flight. The flight was 10:25. We would still not have enough time. We would miss the flight. Now, those were my words. Words have power. Now, this is where I began to now slip into what I call inverted faith. Fear. Now, you see, I had bought into what the COVID department had said to me. I believed in their perspective. Something that I always say that's contrary to what I've put in my book called The Difference. But I'm human, right? And I'm there to boost my faith. And so I've bought into what the COVID department have told me, and I believed in their perspective. In my mind, they were an authority, and they had said to me 10:50. And because they had said 10:50, 10 to 11, that's the time when I would get the test results, I had believed I had no chance of getting the flight, and that was it. The matter was settled. So I called Lindy, my sister-in-law, who hadn't quite left the airport as yet, and I told her to stay outside. Now, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying right now. At that moment, I demonstrated failure, my defeat. Now, I want you to catch this. You cannot picture or demonstrate success and failure at the same time. You see, the moment that I did that, I demonstrated failure when I asked my sister-in-law to wait for us, just in case. This cancelled out my vision that I had been playing in my mind, seeing myself and my mother on the plane in our seats. At that moment, I believed in the perspective of another person, of another department, of another company, another authority. My belief wavered. Now, the lady, the special assistant lady that was holding the wheelchair that my mum was sat in, said, look, I don't think this is going to happen. This is not going to happen, isn't it? But I tell you what, if you go over to the Virgin counter, because it was the Virgin plane we were to take, she said they can reschedule your flight. I think the next plane is on Tuesday. I could hear the defeat in her tone. She had been optimistic for us, but I could hear the defeat, and I bought into her defeat as well. And my actions went along with my defeat. And so I walked along to the counter, the Virgin counter, which was a few yards away, in a state of defeat. I looked across at my mum, who was still with the special assistant, and I looked at her in the wheelchair with her pile of four suitcases surrounding her, thinking, God, was this your will or was it mine? Little did I know that something unbeknownst to me had occurred until it was too late. On the way home in the car, so I'm now sat, my mum, I've gone to the car, I've put all the luggage back into the boot. In the car, on the way now home, I open my email. Only to realise that my prayer had been answered. I want you to catch this. My prayer had been answered. The test result had come through at 9:58 for mum's and 10 o'clock for mine. despite being told it would arrive no earlier than 10:50 by their very own department. The test had arrived at 9:58 and 10 o'clock. Had I remained in faith, I would have opened my email and got onto the plane in the nick of time. You see, remember I told you the check-in had been estimated as closing at 9:50. I am sure they would have stretched an extra 8 to 10 minutes. In fact, as my mum was with special assistance on her wheelchair, and what they do is they put you in a buggy and they take you right through, whereas other people are walking to the place where they have to get the plane, we would have made up for that time. They would have whizzed us through. God had shown up. My will had shown up at perfect time in the ninth hour. When you hold on to God long enough and that faith, it will show up. But my faith, where it had wavered at the end, had caused me to not see that. I had received the answers, but I was so caught up in the moment of defeat in my mind that I didn't realize my prayer had been answered. There is a lesson here. There are no obstacles that God cannot overcome. I should have continued to let my will be His. There are no obstacles that are insurmountable. Doesn't matter how big it is. Doesn't matter who says it, from whose mouth, whether it be a little man, a big company, a small company. There are no obstacles that God cannot overcome. The late Wayne Dyer, may he rest in peace, said, "When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change." The will that I had, that power to create in the plasticine around us, the moment that I changed it, the things that I looked at changed. The things that were in motion, I stopped it in motion. I changed the path of my destiny. And so you see, in the whirlwind of things, I lost my faith. This is where one's faith must remain strong and undeterred in the whirlwind. When it seems as if nothing is happening, when there is no movement. And that's why it's good to have like two people who are on the same wavelength as you, sometimes you need to be able to borrow someone else's faith. But I didn't have anyone around me like that who could have said, "Valerie, no, stay in faith now." And my brain would have clicked back in. You see, stay in faith, check your emails. But there was no one there to champion me. Have one person in your life who will champion you on. If you don't have that one person, you keep it between yourself and God. What I had around me were people who did not understand faith. And then I bought into their perspective. Our will, when focused, can supersede any man's will when impressed with unwavering belief. You see, before I left home that morning, I had asked that God's will for my life be His will. That it take precedence over my mind. And my faith has grown stronger as a result of this experience. Because I wrote it down. I wanted to analyze it. I wanted to break it down and see where I'd gone wrong. You see, I should have stretched my faith from beginning to the end and not buy into another's perspective. For all things are possible with God, with the Christ that lives within. I mean, I feel peaceful that I did not travel. It's a lesson learnt. I believe that God showed me the power of my will. So that is what I set out with. That was my intention. I wanted to prove my faith. I wanted to prove it at a higher level. I wanted the cost to me to be greater. So it was something that I would never forget. Because it's easy to have faith in little things, isn't it? But when something, you're in a turbulent time, how steady can you hold the ship? How steady can you hold your faith when you're in that moment? And I believe that God showed me the power of my will. But then he superseded it with his will. And I say that because that morning when I left home, my prayer to God was this: let my will be done. However, God, if it is not your will, then let it not be done. And I believe that God showed me that my will was done, but then he superseded it because that was not his design for my life. You see, what you have to understand, that God knows your beginning, he knows your middle, and he knows your end. Do you know why he knows that? Because he created you. And when he created you with a plan for your life in mind. It is inbuilt within you. And anytime you go against that will that God has planted within you, that is stored within you, the seed of who you are, you create suffering in your life. You will suffer because you're going against God's will. But when you make your will in line with his, there is no need to suffer. Always ask. Always pray that your will be in alignment with God's will. The plan that he has for you will be fulfilled. Let God's will be your will. And follow through on that hunch or that intuition or gut feeling that you get to take you on your destined path. You were created as a divine mind, a divine idea in divine mind. And when you ask God to show you who you are. In other words, let go of the beliefs that stop you from seeing yourself as God created you. Then you would have come into the fullness of who you are. And there is no life worth living without the function that God has placed within you. There is no life worth living unless it is your chosen path. God did not create you to suffer. He created you as an abundant being. Peace, love, joy, everything that you need for your purpose is at his disposal. So stay in the will of God. And so I'm here to tell you the tale of my journey yesterday, my journey within. Now, if you want to know more about who you are and the power of God in your life, the power of higher intelligence, then I encourage you to purchase my book, The Difference. by Valerie A. Campbell. It's available on Amazon. And it's also available on my website. But if you're living abroad, outside of London, outside of England, it's better to just purchase it on Amazon. If you have any questions at all, contact me on my Instagram, which is Valerie_A_Campbell. You can contact me on there. You can direct message me, or you can contact me on my website, valerieacampbell.com/contact. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, and I welcome all your comments. Stay blessed. Know who you are. Have a wonderful day. And as always, the divine in me bows to the divine in you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.